Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
top U.S. and Chinese officials discuss the roadmap for trade talks.
A bail hearing for Huawei's CFO heads into its third day in Vancouver.
J.P. Morgan boosts its odds of a no-deal Brexit after Theresa May pushes a crucial vote into the new year.
President Trump will meet with top Democrats today as a government shutdown looms. Plus, an accused Russian spy told U.S. prosecutors she wants to change her not guilty plea. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers, Devils, and Islanders all lost, and Seattle beat Minnesota in Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. stock index futures are following European equities higher. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 98, NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%, CAC in Paris up 1.5%, and the FTSE 100 is up more than 1%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 2.88%, yield on the 2-year 2.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 38 cents to $51.38 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25%, up $3.50 to $12.5290 an ounce. The euro, $1.1384, and the yen, 113.13. Nathan.
Karen, we continue to follow the latest developments on trade. Top officials from the U.S. and China are still talking, despite a diplomatic dispute over the arrest of Huawei's chief financial officer. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has details.
Chinese Vice Premier Liu He spoke to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. They held a phone call and discussed the timetable for future trade discussions and also just kind of laid out a roadmap for how these discussions might go over the next couple of months. There were also some reports that these officials talked about potential agricultural purchases by China, and some changes to economic policies were also discussed. It does seem like a signal that talks are continuing in the face of these Huawei tensions, but it remains to see what's going to happen with the Huawei case.
Now, both sides so far signaling they want to treat trade talks and the Huawei case as separate issues.
Meanwhile, a judge in Canada adjourned the bail hearing for Meng Wanzhou until later today, saying he wasn't satisfied with a bail proposal from the chief financial officer's lawyers. Bloomberg's Natalie Obiko-Pearson reports from Vancouver.
One of the terms that they offered in their proposal was to have her husband act as something called a surety. So that is a person who acts essentially as a guarantor, somebody who puts up some financial assets to ensure that the person doesn't flee. The judge has said that her husband is not a resident of Canada and cannot be put forth as this guarantor. So he called the hearing to a close and has suggested strongly that the defense come forward with somebody else to act as her surety.
And Meng is accused of guiding an effort by Huawei to mask violations of sanctions on Iran.
Now, market volatility shows no sign of slowing. The S&P 500 posted a modest gain yesterday after falling as much as 1.9%. Quint Tatro is founder of Jewel Financial.
We became way too oversold. We are now due for, in my opinion, what has started an end-of-the-year bounce and rally.
But one hedge fund pioneer says the current climate may turn sour for investors looking to buy and hold. Paul Tudor Jones tells Bloomberg high market volatility is likely to continue into the new year.
This might be a better time to be a trader than to just hold, because I don't know if we're going to have a huge amount of trends. It could just be an enormously volatile period with a lot of back and forth.
Paul Tudor Jones thinks next year could look a lot like 2007, when stocks climbed to record highs before the financial crisis brought on a recession.
Brexit is also weighing on sentiment, with UK Prime Minister Theresa May pushing the vote on her deal into the new year. That has JP Morgan Chase boosting the odds of a no-deal outcome. James Sullivan is head of equity research for JP Morgan.
We actually took our odds of a no-Brexit outcome up from 20% a week ago to 40%. So significantly greater odds of a no Brexit outcome, which will have dramatic impact on markets.
Meanwhile, Blue Bay Asset Management sees a second referendum as the most likely outcome and also expects the pound to head back to its weakest level since the Brexit vote. Right now, sterling is trading at $1.2605.
In Asia today, assets in India had a volatile session after the country's central bank governor resigned. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nifty turned positive in late Indian trade after earlier being down as much as 1.5% after exit polls showed Prime Minister Modi's ruling party was leading in a key state in the country's state elections. The rupee also paired losses but was still trading lower against the dollar. A stronger yen weighed on Japanese stocks, with the TOPIX closing down by 0.9% in Tokyo. Stocks in Hong Kong and China rose as top Chinese and American trade officials spoke by phone. Tencent shares gained in Hong Kong on news its music IPO could be priced at the midpoint range in the US. Tencent is seeking $1.2 billion in that listing. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Coming up today in the US, we get government data on producer prices for November, and Google CEO Sundar Pichai testifies before the House Judiciary Committee. He's likely to be grilled on election meddling and privacy issues.
Bloomberg Businessweek's out with its rankings of the world's best business schools. It's a global list, but the U.S. still comes out on top, as we hear live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, first, here's how the list is compiled. We survey about 27,000 MBA students, alumni, and recruiters about their experiences and goals. We also use job placement and compensation data from each of the schools. So here goes. Number one, based on these criteria, Stanford, followed by Wharton. Number three, Harvard Business School, followed by MIT Sloan and University of Chicago's Booth School. It's a global ranking, and U.S. business schools took 9 of the top 10 rankings. IMD in Lausanne, Switzerland took the number 10 spot. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And S&P futures are up about 13 points this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. To find out more what's going on around the world, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump is set to meet today with House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer ahead of a deadline for a partial government shutdown. The president wants a funding package to include at least $5 billion for his proposed border wall with Mexico, an idea Democrats have flatly rejected. Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons says he's worried President Trump won't honor any of the deals made during the meeting.
There have been a number of fairly famous moments when the president makes a commitment to a bipartisan bill, whether it's in criminal justice reform or immigration, and then just a matter of days later changes his mind.
The shutdown deadline is December 21st. Maria Butina, who is accused of acting as an undeclared agent of the Kremlin, has decided to change her plea of not guilty. Butina befriended leaders of the National Rifle Association and the Republican Party. President Trump is defending the hush money payments made to women during his 2016 campaign as a simple private transaction. President Trump tweeted yesterday that if there was any wrongdoing, it's his former lawyer, Michael Cohen's, liability and not his. Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana is slamming Cohen's credibility.
Jesus loves him, but everybody else thinks he's an idiot. I think most Americans think he's a sleazoid grifter. I can't imagine basing any kind of prosecution on the word of Mr. Cohen.
Meanwhile, Senate Democrat Richard Blumenthal is dismissing concerns about Cohen's credibility, saying anybody who thinks that Special Counsel Mueller's investigation is about to close down is engaged in wishful thinking. French leader Emmanuel Macron spoke to his nation last night, promising tax cuts and wage increases in an effort to stem the yellow vest protests. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi in Paris reports people are wondering if it's enough.
Interviews on roadblocks across France show that their demands go beyond just cash to wanting deeper changes to France's economy and society. Macron's gamble is that the bulk of French opinion will think that now that he's made a gesture, it's time to end the blockades that have snarled France for more than a month. The problem is that many French simply don't like Macron and his style, and he admitted he's not always appeared sensitive to the concerns of common people. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, just a couple weeks ago, there was a Monday night game that finished 54-51. It was followed by cries, there's too much scoring these days in the NFL, but Sunday night's game only had one touchdown, and last night's game didn't have a TD until there was 3 minutes to go. The Seahawks scored, and then 18 seconds later, they scored again.
Delhi, shotgun snap, moves up, avoids the rush, now being chased, and he throws. The ball not free! It bounces! It rolls! It's picked up on the 30-yard line, running to the 25, coming to the near side, the 15, the 10, there's a block at the 5, and it's a touchdown! It's a touchdown! Justin Coleman vacuumed in the ball on the fumble by Kirk Cousins and just ran it in! Fumble recovery, 29-yard Seattle touchdown!
Western won the call. Seattle lost the shutout with just over a minute to play, but a 21-7 win over Minnesota. Fourth straight win for the Seahawks, looking very good for getting the first NFC wildcard spot. The Vikings are just 500, but for now, they still own the second spot. Struggles continue for New York hockey. All three teams lost again. Rangers at Tampa Bay, 6-3. The hat trick for the Lightning, Steven Stamkos. Blue Shirts have dropped 6 of the last 8. Islanders have lost 5 of 7. Pittsburgh won 2-1 on a goal in the fifth round of the shootout. Devils have the worst road record in the NHL. They lost 5-2 at San Jose. College hoops, Hofstra 80, Manhattan 50. At the baseball winter meetings in Vegas, Yankees GM Brian Cashman admits they're interested in signing free agent Manny Machado, but not Bryce Harper. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Futures contracts pointing to a higher open on Wall Street on the heels of solid gains in Europe, with S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 121, NASDAQ futures up 42 points. We'll get set up for the session with Jonathan Golub of Credit Suisse straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. The sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions. To move your business forward, Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and it's 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Chinese and U.S. officials aren't letting the Huawei affair interfere with trade talks. Vice Premier Liu He spoke with Steven Mnuchin and Robert Lighthizer by phone about the timetable and roadmap for future discussions. Theresa May's bid to end her Brexit nightmare takes her to meet Europe's top two officials today and a catch-up with Angela Merkel. The PM may be hoping that running down the clock to a no-deal divorce will change some minds. Assets in India rebounded on early reports that Narendra Modi's ruling party might win in a key state election. That offset investor jitters triggered by yesterday's resignation of the head of the central bank. And BlackRock is warming to shorter-dated treasuries. The firm upgraded its stance on U.S. debt to neutral from underweight. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are higher, up 12 points. Dow futures up 129 and NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year treasury down 7/32, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 32 cents to $51.32 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump will meet with top Democrats today as a government shutdown looms December 21st. The president will meet with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi at the White House. The president wants funding for a southern border wall. Maria Butina, the Russian gun rights activist who befriended leaders of the NRA and the Republican Party, has decided to change her not guilty plea. Butina is accused of acting as an undeclared agent of the Kremlin. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all lost. In the NBA, the Celtics won, along with the Warriors. The Wizards lost. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks down the Vikings, 21-7. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined this morning by Jonathan Golub. He's a chief equity strategist at Credit Suisse. As we continue to watch equity markets in Europe and futures contracts continuing to add to gains this morning, what do you see behind the risk-on feel?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that the fundamental backdrop is much better than people are giving it credit for. I mean, there are these surveys called ISM where they ask business managers what they think the outlook is for their spending over the next year, and the readings are extraordinarily strong in terms of business intentions. Job creation is strong. The economy is expected to remain out of recession for the foreseeable future, and all of that is a pretty strong and important backdrop.
Although we have heard some analysts, at least pose the specter of recession coming, as soon as 2020 in some cases. You don't see it that way?
I don't. I mean, I think with the economic data, you have visibility out probably something in the neighborhood of 12 to 18 months, and after that it's really hard to make a really good prediction. So the most important thing is, at least throughout all of 2019 and probably well into 2020, the likelihood of recession is pretty low. And for example, you've never had a recession when job creation is positive, and job creation is very positive. If you look at the small business surveys or consumer confidence, all of those are indicating that the people are pretty comfortable with the backdrop. So it's possible that you can have a recession, but something would have to go really terribly wrong in order for us to get there.
All right. So you're thinking what? Continued growth into 2019? A lot of people talking about slowdown, perhaps, given how strong many of those economic indicators have been over the last several months.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a very important point. I do think that we're going to see the economy slow over the next year or two, but I think that you have to put that in context. We've been running this economy extremely strong, and the biggest part of that, or the biggest part of that extra growth, has been because of these tax cuts and some government spending that have added to the economy over the last year or so. So those are going to roll off over the next 12 to 18 months. That will allow things to slow down. But what you really have is something that's growing, or the U.S. economy, which is growing way above the long-term expected trend growth, and going back towards something which is more normal and sustainable. And I don't think that should be particularly disappointing. The other thing I think that we're going to see this year, and I think this is a consensus view, is that the Fed is going to be, I don't know if they'll declare victory, but they're going to be done with the rate hike cycle. Whether they do one in December, one more raise of interest rates, and then one next year or two next year, but by the middle of next year, it'll be clear that the Fed is complete with their process, and I think that that's also going to be very soothing to markets.
That's interesting, because I recall speaking to another analyst just a few days ago who was saying that, given the backdrop that you're talking about here, the strong growth numbers in the economy over the last few months, that higher rates are what this market needs. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, when interest rates were near zero, they created all kinds of damage and distortion to the economy. What they really did was they hurt retirees because they weren't able to get any type of an interest rate. And now the Fed has been very successful at moving from this zero rate policy and getting it back in the ballpark of something which looks quite normal and healthy. So whether the Fed has to move one more time or three more times, the process of of unwinding what they had done when they brought interest rates down is largely complete, and that's really what the most important thing is. As far as raising rates meaningfully higher, unless you have an inflation problem, there's no mandate to do that, and there isn't an inflation problem. As a matter of fact, inflation has actually eased up a little bit, which is quite healthy.
Jonathan Golub, Chief Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse. Great conversation, especially with the Fed getting set for its next interest rate setting meeting next week. We'll have more on that in the week ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers during the Season of Adventure sales event now through January 2nd. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning after yesterday's volatile session, which saw the Dow down more than 500 points before ending the day higher. European averages are rising while stocks in China gained 0.5%.
There are new developments on the trade front this morning. Despite the arrest of that Huawei executive, China's vice premier spoke by phone with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Beijing says the two sides exchanged views on the roadmap of future trade talks.
China is nearing a possible mega merger of China National Chemical and Sinochem Group. That's according to sources who tell Bloomberg top executives completed preparatory work for the deal. A tie-up could be announced in the coming weeks.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May begins a tour of European capitals today as she seeks help on the Irish backstop component of her Brexit plan. The EU is said to be open to more assurances but won't renegotiate. The UK Parliament plans to vote on the measure before January 21st.
At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the U.S. government issues the producer price index for November. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice says economists expect a tame report.
In October, the producer price index rose by the most in 6 years. November looks to be a different story. Bloomberg Economics says the strong dollar probably held producer prices in check last month. Petroleum, meantime, moved lower, most likely muffling commodity and transportation costs and offsetting the impact of White House tariffs. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Camet Capital Partners, an investment firm managing funds for two wealthy Chinese families, is piling into two-year treasuries. It's wagering the U.S. economy enters a recession as early as next year.
And shares of WPP are up 4%. The British Advertising Group plans to cut 2,500 jobs in a bid to grow sales in line with peers and keep its dividend payout stable.
It's 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell slightly yesterday to close at 22.64. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 22.09. That, Karen, is this morning's Volatility report.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. And S&P futures are up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 156. NASDAQ futures are up 57. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 36 cents to $51.37 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.80 at $12.53.20 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. President Trump and top congressional Democrats will meet today in hopes of working out a budget deal to avoid a partial government shutdown. Despite the special counsel's investigations heating up, Senate Democrat Richard Blumenthal says Americans want lawmakers to work together.
Even as we hold the president accountable, whether it's in this session or the next, we have to build roads and airports and bridges. Infrastructure is important. We have to finance the military and the rest of our government.
The president wants a funding package for the next fiscal year to include at least $5 billion for his proposed border wall with Mexico. The shutdown deadline is December 21st. Accused Russian spy Maria Butina has told federal prosecutors she wants to change her not guilty plea. Butina, who befriended leaders of the National Rifle Association and GOP members, is accused of acting as an undeclared agent of the Kremlin. Allies of Republican Representative Mark Meadows are pressing for him to be President Donald Trump's new chief of staff to replace outgoing John Kelly. The White House is weighing other serious contenders, including U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Google Chief Executive Sundar Pichai will testify today before the House Judiciary Committee. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman is in Washington.
At its best, Facebook plays a positive role in our democracy.
That was Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg at a hearing 2 months ago at which Jack Dorsey of Twitter also answered questions, but Google was represented, embarrassingly, by an empty chair. This morning, Pichai will testify solo. Republicans have accused Google of downgrading conservative voices in its newsfeed. Democrats are increasingly concerned with Google using information provided by its users without clearly informing them. Pichai can also expect questions on his decision to consider offering China a search engine with a great wall of censorship built in. In Washington, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio.
French President Emmanuel Macron has promised tax relief for struggling workers and retirees and acknowledged he's partially responsible for the anger that has fueled almost 4 weeks of protests. Macron pleaded in a TV address for return to calm. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks for coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Monday Night Football, a lot of NFC wildcard playoff implications. If the season ended now, the Seahawks and Vikings would have the two spots. Seattle won 21-7, almost all the scoring coming in the last 3 minutes, and the Seahawks have now won four in a row, and at 8-5, they're in very good shape to get in. Vikings are just 500, still good enough for the second spot, which means the Giants, incredibly, at 5-8, alive for the playoffs if they can win their last three games. Rangers were in Tampa, ran into the NHL's best team, lost to the Lightning 6-3. Kevin Hayes, two goals for the Blue Shirts. Islanders in Pittsburgh went to the fifth round of the shootout. Jake Gensel's goal won it for the Penguins 2-1. Devils, still only three road wins all year, fell at San Jose 5-2. College Hoops, Hofstra walloped Manhattan 80-50. Baseball winter meetings underway in Vegas. Yankees GM Brian Cashman admitted he's talking to the agent for star free agent Manny Machado. Yankee shortstop D.D. Gregorius is going to miss at least the first half of next season after Tommy John surgery. Yanks manager Aaron Boone asked on the Yes Network if that means they need to find a replacement.
And that is an area where I know Cash is working really hard to kick every kind of option through the trade market, through free agency. So we're certainly trying to upgrade that and trying to at least get somebody from a stopgap to a long-term solution in there. But we feel like we have really good options internally, too.
And that includes moving second baseman Gleyber Torres to short. Cashman ruled out signing the other big free agent, Bryce Harper, said he already has enough outfielders. Hot rumor has the Yanks and Mets talking with the Marlins about a three-way trade. Yanks would get Noah Syndergaard. The Mets would get catcher JT Realmuto. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
After the recent melee involving Central American asylum seekers, Mexican police, and the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, an uneasy calm has returned to the crossing between Tijuana and San Diego. It's unlikely to last, unless President Trump changes his policies. This turmoil is avoidable. Mainly, the U.S. needs to mend its broken asylum system, and the solutions are more straightforward than you might think. Nobody has the right to enter the U.S. illegally, by force or by stealth. But applicants for asylum would be more likely to present themselves in an orderly way at ports of entry if the U.S. could process their applications in a timely and compassionate fashion. Greater administrative efficiency is the key to protecting the vulnerable and upholding American values and interests. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's coming up on 6:39 on Wall Street. The Supreme Court may have weighed in on online sales taxes, but some Democratic lawmakers want legislation to better outline the terms for collecting them. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The Supreme Court ruling this summer freed up states to collect taxes on remote sales, but Democratic senators are concerned some states may take advantage.
Federal lawmakers are scared that states are going to see this as a huge windfall.
Bloomberg tax reporter Ryan Preet says their proposal would prohibit states from collecting duties prior to the ruling. They also want a moratorium on collection.
They're arguing that we're in the fourth quarter year for businesses. It's holiday shopping season. It's way too hard for small and medium-sized businesses to start complying with these online sales tax enforcement laws.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
If you can't seem to get rid of all that nuclear waste, just change what you call it. That's the Trump administration's solution to tens of millions of gallons of nuclear waste classified as high level that's sitting in the ground right now in barrels. Currently, if waste left over from nuclear weapons production is classified as high level, the government is required to spend lots of money to dispose of it safely. The U.S. Department of Energy wants to reclassify the waste so the danger it poses wouldn't change, but the words describing it would. And the Energy Department says that could save $40 billion in cleanup costs and make disposing of it much easier, potentially eliminating decades of work. The Hanford Nuclear Reservation in the state of Washington contains the nation's largest collection of such waste, stored in 177 aging underground tanks, some of which have leaked. Critics accuse the government of just wanting to let that waste sit in the ground. There's a public comment period before the new rule takes effect. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Futures contracts are green this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are moving higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are climbing right now and trading around their highs. Dow futures up 191 points. S&P's rise by 18, while the Nasdaq futures climb by 67. U.S. 10-year yield at 2.88%, oil trading higher, and Shanghai rose overnight, while European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in France and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, 830, the producer price index. And after the bell last night, activist Starboard called on Cars.com to boost results or weigh a sale. And in other news, AT&T was upgraded to buy as Citigroup sees value after 2018 weakness. And semiconductors were mentioned cautiously at Goldman Sachs after their Asian tour. Wrapping things up, Netflix was rated a new sell over at DZ Bank. At Goldman Sachs, Acorda downgraded to sell, and Fleetcor was downgraded to neutral. And over at JP Morgan, Pfizer and Schlumberger were both downgraded to neutral. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Care.
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. We are seeing futures spike. This is after China is said to be moving toward cutting its trade war tariffs on imported U.S.-made cars, a step already brandished by President Donald Trump as a concession won during trade talks in Argentina, a proposal to reduce tariffs on cars made in the U.S. to 15% from the current 40% has been submitted to China's cabinet to be reviewed in the coming days, sources tell Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures again up 20 points. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump meets today with Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi to discuss border wall funding. Accused Russian spy Maria Butina has told U.S. prosecutors she wants to change her not guilty plea. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo criticized the Russian government for sending, quote, bombers halfway around the world to Venezuela. Pompeo on Twitter says the Russians and Venezuelan people should see this for what it is, two corrupt governments squandering public funds. A Kremlin spokesman says that is absolutely inappropriate. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all lost. In the NBA, the Celtics and Warriors won. The Wizards lost. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks down the Vikings 21-7. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Hong Kong's fling with microscopic apartments may be fading. A project in the new territories where some dwellings measure just 12 square meters, or 128 square feet, didn't sound bigger that way either, saw the sale of just two of 73 units on offer. Nathan, 2 years ago, an executive defended the parking space size unit, saying, even the emperor living in a place as big as the Forbidden City still slept on a bed. I don't know how that defended these little micro things.
Yeah, but. Well, I mean, what the executive left unsaid is, was the emperor's bed smaller than 128 square feet?
Hey,
it begs the question, Michael.
When I got to go outside to change my mind, it's too big.
Exactly right.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. I couldn't fit in that place anyway. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Google CEO Sundar Pichai testifying before the House Judiciary Committee today, SEC Chairman Jay Clayton testifying at a Senate Banking Committee oversight hearing, and President Trump meeting with Democrats Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer later this morning at the White House, with government spending likely to top the agenda. Though this breaking news on the Bloomberg terminal just minutes ago is sure to affect the agenda in Washington. China now said to move on the U.S. car tariff cut that President Trump tweeted about just as he was leaving the G20 dinner in Argentina with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Let's get more on this now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And as Karen mentioned in the business flash, Kate, the markets are moving on this news. What does this mean now for U.S.-China trade talks?
Well, there were some questions raised by Trump's tweet, you know, whether or not the president had kind of gotten ahead of where the talks actually were. But now it looks like events in Beijing are sort of catching up with what the president had said. And so if this turns out to be the case, that China is going to actually move towards cutting its tariffs on imported U.S.-made cars, then I think that that, you know, certainly will be, you know, lauded by the White House as an achievement for Trump. And I think somewhat rightly so.
Yeah, and I guess we need to wait for exactly more clarity from the Chinese government as far as what it plans to do, what the timeline could be in terms of the reduction of auto tariffs. But there are many more issues that are separating the two sides.
Absolutely. And as you say, of course, the specifics on this are going to matter. And, you know, I think that also what, you know, it could be an indication that I think there were some questions potentially last week with everything that's going on with the Huawei arrest, that potentially this trade truce that had been struck between Trump and Xi in Argentina, whether or not that was now on the rocks. And I think that this is, you know, perhaps a positive indication that at the sort of surrogate level, or at the sort of non-principal level, i.e. the level below Trump and Xi, that these talks are continuing and, you know, maybe potentially making some progress. So it's you know, a positive sign, but I think a lot, as you say, you know, remains unclear at this stage.
Yeah, and you raise the question here. There may be developments, positive developments at the mid-level. What remains to be done in terms of, you know, getting an agreement at the highest level here? The president talked after the dinner with Xi that there were positive developments there. But I guess it could be said that we probably need to see more meat on the bones. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. And I think also, you know, again, this is all happening in the context of what's going on with the arrest of the Huawei CFO. And that's unfolding now in Canada, you know, that whole storyline. And I think that, you know, the news out of Beijing in the last couple of days has been that there's at least two schools of thoughts on this. I'm sure there's more, but that there's some folks that, you know, really want to blend those two issues and don't want to see necessarily China making a whole lot of concessions or even necessarily progress with the U.S. on trade until that issue is more firmly resolved, because there was a sense that, you know, the Trump administration's handling of that issue ended up, you know, looking like a big of egg on the face for China. And so I think there's some sensitivity to that right now.
Yeah, and we have a 90-day window in which the U.S. and China can come to some sort of agreement. And that almost feels like an eternity. Compared to the deadline coming up in less than 2 weeks, with the prospect of a partial government shutdown in Washington. And now we have yet another meeting coming up in just a few hours here in the White House between President Trump and Democratic leaders.
Yeah, so Trump will be sitting down with Nancy Pelosi, the, you know, House Democratic Speaker in Waiting come January, and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. This is going to be his first meeting with those two in a year, which is, you know, quite a long time. When I was up in the Senate every day, it seemed as though this was, you know, back in, during the Obama administration, it seemed as though those leaders were going over for meetings, you know, every couple weeks or so with the Obama, with the Republican leadership. So this is quite unusual that Trump hasn't sat down with them in that long. And I think given the context that the Democrats are going to be taking over the House in January, and that this is going to be the first time that Trump as president is going to have to deal with a divided government, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of a position he takes in this meeting, and, you know, what Democrats have to say after about what, you know, his attitude towards them is.
Yeah, and interesting, given the fact that the last time there was such a meeting like this, the dynamics were different. The Republicans were in control, but the issues were essentially the same, talking about border security and immigration reform.
Yeah, this issue of border security, and specifically Trump's, you know, beloved border wall that he talks a lot about, this is an issue that has been ongoing since before he took office. It's something he campaigned on. If anything, the Democratic takeover of the House makes it in some ways less likely for him to get this. But I think it also kind of forces the issue of whether or not Democrats are going to be, you know, what concessions Democrats are going to be willing to give. They've not said that any money is a firm red line. I think that the question is how far Trump wants to push them beyond what they've already put on the table. And I think we'll get some indication of that today after the meeting.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, always great to get your insights. Thanks for being here. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. The news flow, it seems, never stops. Just check in on Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. The latest survey from the NFIB out this morning shows U.S. small business optimism falling. The monthly index was dragged down by a large decline in those expecting the economy to improve and a drop in those expecting higher real sales. Now, the net percentage of firms expecting a better economy fell to 22%. The net percentage of firms expecting better sales, that fell to 24%. Job openings among small businesses also lost 4 points. Now, the overall index fell from 107.4 to 104.8. That is a bigger decline than economists surveyed by Bloomberg had expected. The head of the NFIB says even with this decline, it's still near historically high levels. This is a qualitative survey. The results of quantitative surveys, they mirror this from payroll services companies like Paychex. So the overall story, we are seeing a slowdown, albeit small. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And again, we're going to bring you this breaking news with China moving toward cutting its trade war tariffs on imported U.S.-made cars, a step that was already brandished by President Trump as a concession won during trade talks in Argentina. And the proposal to reduce tariffs on cars made in the U.S. to 15% from the current 40% has been submitted to China's cabinet to be reviewed in the coming days, sources tell Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.